This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Last night, Lansing City Council heard public comments on a proposal to cut police funding by 50% over the course of the next several years. Lansing is only one of several cities in Michigan where citizens have been asking for tangible solutions to excessive use of force by officers. Lansing City Councilman Brandon Betts believes the solution is this substantial reduction in funding. He joins us now. Brandon Betts, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So the phrase defund the police gets used a lot, and it means different things to different people. Can you tell us what it means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's, you know, this scary thing with defunding that everybody's really worried about. But what defunding really is and what it is in practice is a reinvestment in our community in a way that makes our community safer. So the way to think about this is there are root causes to crime. We know what they are. People with lower incomes are likely to cause crimes because they need it. You know, we've got people with mental health issues that police respond to on the daily for different things. We can replace police with services and with programs that allow us to reduce our police department, in essence, because there will be less crime. It actually makes our community safer to go in this direction, as opposed to having police that just respond to crimes after they've already happened.
Could you lay out how the proposal would work, the sort of the timeline that you have in mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So the resolution that we passed on council was what is allowable. So right now, the resolution is only calling for a committee to be put together to investigate what defunding the police department would look like over 5 years, specifically 50% of the police department, because we do have pension costs, we do have contracts and things like that we still have to meet over the next 5 years. But the goal of this is really to start investigating what services and what programs we need to start investing in as a city to make sure that this is a successful transition into a safer community, which is my goal. And when people talk to me about safety, well, one thing that I like to note is that our Black and Brown residents in this city are not safe from police. They are 3 times more likely to be pulled over and arrested on the spot, according to police data in Lansing. They're more likely to be pulled over. They're more likely to be confronted by police. And we've had violent interactions with police, with people of color in Lansing. Last year, there's a 16-year-old girl who was beat up by a police officer when that person could have been talked to by a social worker and calmed down and referred to services, like should have happened, as opposed to the police being called on a 16-year-old girl. So the point of my resolution is to start investigating this and to start the conversation, because thus far the mayor hasn't been willing to start that conversation. And so I think it's upon council to start investigating these issues.
What conversations have you had with Mayor Schor about this?
So far, Andy has been quite hesitant. Black Lives Matter Lansing has reached out to them, as well as a bunch of the Black community. And this issue has been going on in the mayor's office for a long time. But the truth of the matter is he has not been willing to step up to the plate on this issue. He's not ready for change, and he's not ready to look at a future that protects our Black and Brown residents. And I think that that is in part because of the political background that he comes from, but it's also because he's white. And I think that that's something that has been an issue moving forward. And obviously, we need the mayor on board with this, which is the reason why I've proposed that we, as council, put together a report to start researching this. Because as long as the mayor's not going to do something, we need to do something. We need to act in this moment. And the answer is for council to act.
Mayor Andy Schor is someone with whom, you know, we might say the buck stops with him in terms of police budgets. But he's also the guy who has to get up in front of the cameras whenever there is a particularly violent incident in town, maybe something like an active shooter situation. Do you think that you and he are under different kinds of pressure and have different kinds of accountability in this situation?
There are 2 questions baked in there, and I'll answer both of them. First, Andy and I are different people. My goal in council is to make sure that there's racial equity for all citizens in Lansing. And that means listening to the Black community who is calling for the defunding of the police. The buck stops truly when the community starts calling for change, and the community has called for change. And it's time for Andy to stand up and look and see what those changes are. Now, your question is, what about violent crime? What about these mass shootings? I'm not suggesting that we get rid of public safety. There are so many people who think this is what we're talking about. No, we need some form of public safety, but that form of public safety is not the police, because the police, the amount of violent crime that happens nationwide, only 5% of calls responded to are violent crime. So why do we need the other 95% of the police force? That's my question, and the question that I hope we get to answer on council, and something that I think that we as society need to be investigating. I'm not suggesting that we let shooters run around the streets and kill a whole bunch of people. I'm suggesting that we have a better form of public safety that actually keeps our Black and brown residents safe.
You've received any number of Facebook comments in which people threaten to recall you because of your advocacy on this matter, or at least challenge you for your council seat. Would you say you've received more supportive comments or negative ones about this?
Absolutely. Facebook warriors are a thing, but you look at the people who are showing up to council, you look at the people who are coming to me and actually speaking to me about this issue, plus people on Facebook have been positive to this thing. What I've seen is the people who are reaching out live outside of the city or are uneducated in what's going on. And the one thing that I ask for everybody is that you get educated, because times are changing and it's time to get with the movement, because this is a civil rights movement. This isn't me defunding the police. This is me working to listen to the Black and brown communities who have called very specifically for this to happen as part of a large international civil rights movement that is truly trying to protect Black lives.
Should we worry about how this might affect police recruiting? If this plan were to go into effect, obviously the department will not be exactly on a hiring spree in years to come. But when you think about the police force of the future, downsized to what you think is an appropriate level of staff, would people want to take public service jobs with a department whose budget has been cut by half?
In the long term, the hope is to have no police budget. The hope is to have a different form of public safety. That means people who protect us that are not sworn police officers, because police are truly a racist institution. They're derived from slave catchers. And we need to realize that that's the fact. There is structural racism in our police department, and we need a completely different way of doing things. No, I don't think that people in public services are going to be worried about their jobs. What I tell people about the unemployment issue is that structural unemployment is part of systemic change, and it's healthy. Economists everywhere say that structural unemployment is important. I think that we should retrain police officers to do something else other than being police officers, because police officers truly are violent to our Black and brown communities. And this is the only answer that we have to fix this problem.
Lansing, being the state capital with a history in manufacturing and near a major university, is probably one of the more diverse and integrated communities that we can look at in the state. But there are still neighborhoods in Lansing that are more Black or more white. Do you think that Lansing is seeing Black neighborhoods that are more heavily policed or just policed in different ways? That difference is becoming more obvious?
I live in a majority white neighborhood, and I have seen two police officers drive on my street in the last 3 years that I've lived here. Whereas in my ward, there's a neighborhood called Baker Denora that is predominantly Black, and there are police patrolling those streets 24 hours a day. And the term that they use is, you know, we're protecting public safety, but they aren't. They're looking to arrest Black people, because that is what happens when all you do is patrol Black neighborhoods. It's so wrong to me that that's how policing works. There isn't more crime in Black neighborhoods because those people are Black. There's crime in Black neighborhoods because there is a lot of need in that community that we can answer through investments in our community. And that means, again, defunding our police department and taking that money and reinvesting it.
Will you tell us more about what you think should be done with the money that would not be spent on police if these plans move forward?
I am going to sit here and say that the answer needs to come from the community. I am not the person to answer that question. And that is the reason, again, why I've put together this committee to investigate this. Because I think that we need community input. We need our Black and Brown neighbors to come out and say, hey, these are the things that we need invested in so that we can change society and be a safer society. This isn't something that I have the answer to. This is something that we as a community, as an entire community in Lansing, need to come together and talk about. And that is the discussion that I truly want to have. Defunding is the misnomer of the situation. It's something that people don't entirely understand. What I want to talk about is where we can spend that money in our city to make our city truly safer and more equitable for everybody who lives here.
Folks who've been working on these issues for a long time will tell you that policing is a huge piece of the equation, but that the kind of societal divisions that have brought us to this point have a lot of different roots. Are you or is council working on or even talking about plans that might affect other areas of people's lives, maybe neighborhood desegregation or utilities reform that might give some options other than shutoffs? What else is in the works?
This is my first year on council, and the thing that I've been asked to work on at this point, there are a lot of inequitable laws in Lansing and a lot of inequitable policies, such as water shutoffs, and they run the gamut. Now, City Council just put together a new standing committee on racial equity, diversity, and inclusion. And the goal of that committee is to take a look at all of Lansing laws, all Lansing ordinances, all Lansing policies, and discuss which of those are inequitable, which of those are truly hurting our Black and Brown neighbors. And we as council have the legislative authority to change those laws and ordinances. And I believe that committee and our work in that committee is going to truly lead to some substantial changes in how services are provided and how we interact as a city with our Black and Brown neighbors.
Brandon Betts represents the first ward in Lansing. Brandon, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Of course. This was a great conversation. I love having it. And I'm really happy to have met you and to be talking to you about this.
Same.